church around the world. They come, listen, they leave, and they go back to their own lives. In other words, they hear it, but they are not really doing it. Don't you think you're a little harsh to say many people? Are you telling me, what about this congregation? Let me put it this way. 10% of church congregation serve. Rest 90% don't do a whole lot. Our church congregation is a higher ratio. 10% of church people give to the kingdom of God. And some of you are thinking, this is the first time I come to church and you talk about money. Well, I'm not asking for your money. And the rest of people don't give anything. So I can say that 10% is pretty much running the show, running the church, doing things for the kingdom of God. Rest of people just riding their coasting. This morning, Jesus wants us to get out of lethargy and complacency and do the things that he teaches us. The things he would radically change our lives. The advice he's giving us is absurd advice in this selfish era. In this first 21st century, this is completely against our grain, our flesh grain, that is. We stop with the verse 20. Chapter 6, please. Then he lifted up his eyes toward his disciple and said, "Blessed are you poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed are you hunger now, for you shall be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you, and cast out your name as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day, that live for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full, for you shall hunger. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall moan and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophet." Here we see that Jesus saying, blessed are you, and then woe to you for four times. It's a great contrast here. Some people say that this is probably a shorter version of a Sermon on the Mount that you will see in Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7. Some fine Bible scholars would say this is the two different events, because you see in verse 17, let's go back to the verse 17, chapter 6, and he came down with them and stood on the level place, note the word level place, with a crowd of his disciples, and goes on. So some people say instead of Sermon on the Mount, it is a Sermon on the Plain. It's a two different events. However, different group of Bible scholars will say, well, no, it is the same event, it's just a shorter version. Dr. Luke did not record all of it. Then how are you going to explain plain? When you look at it in the Greek word, plain is not just a level ground, wide open field. Also, it can be translated as plateau on the mount, on the mountain. So either way, it can be correct. At this point, that's a rather mute point, so we'll just move on to the next one. The most people say the blessing is, as we studied before, it's happy. When we say that somebody is being blessed by God, we quickly consider that person has a long life, health and wealth, and less enemy or no enemies. That is true. It can be true to the God's people from God. Physically, it can happen. But that's not the only physical, the physical blessings are not the only things that God has in mind. The Lord explained in this sermon, the true blessed life comes not from the getting or from being, from doing things, but rather being. That means the emphasis is on God's God-like character. Folks, God cares far more about our character than the comfort. Let me repeat one more time. This is so important for we have to drill in our heart. God cares far more about our godly character than physical comfort. So when we ask Him, give me this, give me this, give me this, give me that, and God will say, no, I'm going to make you to be more like my Son, Jesus Christ. That is foremost goal for Him. Not giving you Corvette, not giving you Lamborghini with a five-story homes. The sermon is not the gospel. The people will not be saved because they just go through the Sermon on the Mount. Or this is not a constitution that you just have to follow and you become a God-like. It's a different story. Sermon on the Mount applies to life today. And also, it describes the kind of godly character we should have as believers in this world. In this opening, Jesus tells us, Jesus is not telling us that poverty or hunger or persecution or the tears are the blessing itself. He never said that you have to be poor, you have to be persecuted, otherwise you are not Christian. That's not what he's saying. Rather, he's calling us to be brokenhearted. Brokenhearted for God. And you may say, what does it mean, brokenhearted for God? It means that we have to be humble in His sight. Unless we are humble, He will not lift us up, as the Word says. And He will say, contrite heart and broken spirit He will not despise. We cannot come to Him with an arrogant attitude, oh God, I don't need your advice, I can make my way to heaven, thank you very much. That's not going to work with Him. Unless we come to Him with a humble attitude and saying, Lord, I need your help. Then He will start to move on behalf of us and ultimately for His glory. Let's move to the verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemy, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you. This is not the things normally you would hear from the Wall Street Journal. Pray for those who despitefully use you. To him who strike you on one cheek, offer the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. From him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. But if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love you, love them. But if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners do the same. But if you lend those from whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even the sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemy, do good, and lend hoping for nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of Most High. For He is kind to the unthankful and evil. Would you underline next phrase, please? Therefore, be merciful just as your Father also is merciful. Note that word, please. Many people think that some people, especially those who don't know the Bible well, said, well, Christianity and Christians are not supposed to do the self-defense, or they're supposed to take the assault from others with hands down. Not so. This is not about a physical assault. If thug or the robber or somebody who is trying to hurt you physically, by all means, protect yourself and protect your family. However, this is about more like an emotional assault. culturally during this time, when somebody slap you on the cheek, same thing here, if somebody slap you on the cheek, that's not really trying to hurt you. If somebody trying to hurt you, they will bash your head with a baseball bat. That's the idea of assault. But somebody slap you on the cheek, that's more like an insult, not assault. When somebody insults you, they said, Jesus said, turn the other cheek. It's hard for the redneck like us to accept this command. You mean, they ain't right? You mean, turn the other cheek? Why don't we just pick up the shotgun? Well, it's hard to do that. Our typical idea is the first one, and do unto others before they do unto you. Or don't get mad, get even, right? But Jesus is saying to do the different things. We can look for the loopholes here as long as we like, but we won't find them. We are commanded to love this one, the one we don't care to be around. Remember, guys, this is not suggestion. This is commandment. Yes, it goes against my grain. It goes against my flesh. But that's what God is telling us to do. If we do the same thing like the other people, non-believers, what are we different than them? We ought to be different. Loving enemy or those whom we don't care to be around cannot be done with our own strength, but only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Important thing is not what we're trying to be vindicated before our enemies, but rather become more like God in our character. What is the definition of a Christian? It means Christ-like. So we're trying to be more like Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. To be like Him, first thing we have to change is our character, our attitude. Verse 37. This is two most misunderstood, misinterpreted verses in the Bible. Judge not, you shall not be judged. Condemn not, you shall not be condemned. Forgive, underline, please forgive, you will be forgiven. In other words, if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven either. Give and it will be given to you, and good measure pressed down, shake together, and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. As I said before, these are the two of the most misinterpreted verses in the Bible. The many carnal Christians, I'm sure you heard, when you try to give advice to the carnal Christian, what you're doing is not right. And the first thing they say, the Bible says, don't judge me. Judge not, you will not be judged. And that's all they remember. Judge not, you will not be judged. In context, let me repeat it. In context, here as well as Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1 through 5, Jesus is not calling us a universal acceptance for the carnal life or any doctrine. If somebody is living together, having sex before the marriage, that is a carnal life. That is wrong. And if you tell that person and they say, well, you cannot judge me. Yes, I can judge according to the Word of God. What the Bible says in context, whatever you judge, the same measure you will be judged back to you. Are you willing to take that chance? Yeah, if you are willing, then judge. We can judge the fruit. If the fruit is not there, we have a problem. Forgiveness, however, the forgiveness, I ask you on the line, to forgive and you will be forgiven. Forgiveness is one of the most difficult things we can accomplish on this earth because we are emotional people. One way or another, we can be hurt. If the Christian learned to forgive each other well, we wouldn't have a church fight or church split. Why? Because we insist our way. If I don't get my way, I'm going to pick up my ball and go home. Isn't that what the kids do? What are we different if we act that way? That's what we do in the church. We often hold a grudge against other people and dig our heels deeply and try to insist or retaliate. And people who offer us, people offend us and don't even realize they offend us. And they make us more madder than before. Here's a $50,000 question for you, all of you. And don't expect me to give you the $50,000, actually. According to the Bible, we just learned. Now, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? We just learned, forgive the one who offend us, the one who insult us. Are we supposed to forgive that person? Let's go to Mark chapter 11, verse 25. Mark 11, 25, please. Why is it humid in here? And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, note the word, against anything to anyone, forgive him, and that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. If you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Let me say this to you. If you choose not to forgive that person, it doesn't matter how much Bible knowledge you have. You are not doing the basic things of God's instruction. It doesn't matter how mature you think you are. In other words, you are immature. And you may say, well, you have nerve to call me immature. Well, are you doing what the Bible says? Then you are mature. If you are not doing it, you are immature. Following Jesus' step means anything, it means being able to forgive our enemies. Is it easy? I never said it's easy. There were times I had to forgive somebody each time I saw that person, blood boil. My gall came out from the stomach to my throat. The acid. You know what I'm talking about, right? You had that feeling before. All you can think about is just running him over with a truck. Let's be honest. But what stopped me to do that? Holy Spirit. Is that what pleased the Lord? No. So each time whenever I have that kind of feeling, I say, help me, God. As you forgive me, help me to forgive that person. How many times do I have to forgive? Peter asked. 7 times? He thought it was a great thing to say because the Pharisees said, forgive that person for 3 times. What are they going to do after 3 times? Fourth time banging his side of his head? No. Jesus said, 7 times 70. Is there 490 times or the trillion million times? Unlimited amount. For one each person, 490 times per day? Yeah. Is it easy? I said, it's not. It can be done with my own strength, as I said before, no. This can be done only by the power of the Holy Spirit. Before we leave this service, if you have anything against any of the brothers and sisters in this church, you go to that person, make it right. Don't walk out that door saying, I know what you said, but... When you say, but remember what I said, you just exclude everything you agreed with. I know what God says here, but he doesn't understand what kinds of offense I got. God knows. Let him take care of it. So please don't walk out the door. Don't worry about what other people would think about. Or don't worry about your own pride. Make it right with that person so you can be right with God. Let me ask you this. Would you like to have your sins been forgiven? I do. I have so many. I need the spreadsheet to show it to God. I don't need God to say, I'm not going to forgive you because you didn't forgive that person. I need help from God. You do too. So make it right with God. Make it right with that person. Then you will be blessed. Let's move to the verse 39. And he spoke a parable, Jesus spoke a parable to them, and can a blind lead a blind? And will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teachers, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eyes, but do not perceive the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, brother, let me remove the speck that is in your eye, when you yourself do not see the plank that is in your own eyes? Hypocrite, first remove the plank from your own eyes, then you will see clearly to remove the speck that is in your brother's eyes. Jesus has a sense of humor, don't you think? He said, well, when you have this log coming out from your eyes, can you imagine I have a log coming out whenever I turn around and you guys have to touch it? Knocking the lamp and jamming myself against the door. And then I said, well, you have a speck in your eyes. I see it. Well, get rid of that log coming out from your eyes first. What is trying to say? What is trying to say to us? When we don't forgive other people, we are the one who has that big log coming out from our eyes, and we say, well, I see that the little speck in your eyes. We are quick to judge that person when we have the problem of our own. Do you understand? It's silly for us to do that kind of thing. The Pharisees, they have a problem. They see all the other people's speck in their eyes, but they have their own log coming out from their eyes. And Jesus saying, telling them, first, be humble yourself to the mighty God, and then you help other people. There's a song they can sing after they remove their eye, lock from their eyes. I can see clearly now. You go on, right? The person who holds a grudge against the other is the one who wouldn't forgive the other person, is the one who has a plank in their eyes and trying to take the speck out of the other person's eyes. Verse 43, for the good tree does not bear bad fruit, nor does the bad tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For men do not gather figs from the thorns, and nor do they gather grapes from the bramble bush. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The fruit of an individual life is an inevitable result of who we are. Eventually, the good or bad fruit is evident in revealing what sort of tree that we are. Sometimes we may not be able to tell what kind of tree that is until they start to bear the fruit. Fruit will come out of our lives. And we will be able to see it. Move down to verse 46. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my saying and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. When the flood arose and stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was found on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house. The secret of the standing firm is not the house itself, it's not a decoration, it's not the paint, the quality of paint, nor the elevenness of the design, but it's a foundation on the rock, that is Jesus Christ. There's no stronger bedrock than the truth Jesus preached. Wise people build their lives on this truth. Our Lord emphasized that here is obedience. Did you notice that these people say they call him Lord, Lord, but they don't do the things what the Lord just taught them? Folks, as I said before, forgiveness is not easy. But if you are willing to be obedient to God, God will supply the strength and courage and willingness to do so. Let's go to James chapter 2, please. Right after Hebrews. James chapter 2 in the New Testament. If you are not familiar with the Bible, there's a page number and for the Bible, handed out Bible. James chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Love and mercy are the things that the Lord wants us to give to the others as we live as a Christian. Not just to hear and talk about it. Forgiveness is not something you can talk about. Forgiveness is something we do to others and to ourselves, as God did to us. So what are you supposed to do before you walk out the door? If there's anything you're holding against your brothers and sisters in here, you forgive. And what if you have somebody at home? You forgive. What if you have somebody at work? You forgive. That's what Jesus did for us. That's what the Father in heaven did for us. While we are still yet sinners, He forgave us. And He cleaned our plate clean. Even though our sin was as red as scarlet, but He made us like white as snow. He cleaned our plate, make us to be pure. Let's make three applications. Number one, God cares far more about our character than comfort. Number two, if we Christians learn to forgive each other well, we wouldn't have a church split or fight within the body of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that be a great day? If we stop fighting against each other, and the other people will come to church by truckload. Third application, love and mercy are the things that the Lord wants us to give to others as we live as a Christian, not just hear and talk about it. Let's stand up and pray.